you still need to come to the altar this morning, even while the preaching's going on, you come to the altar this morning. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 24. I'm going to read a few verses in Joshua chapter number 24 this morning and preach what God has placed on my heart to preach. Thank God for leading me to the scripture and speaking to my heart. And I hope and pray it does work in hearts today, and lives today. We'll begin reading in Joshua chapter 24, begin reading verse number 13. The Bible says, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat." You know, let me just stop right there just for a minute. You know, oftentimes we like to take credit for everything that God blessed with. But you know what? It's God that has blessed. It's God that has given. And it's also God that can take away. We need to remember that also. The Bible says in verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up out of our fathers, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you, and that He hath done, after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, saith he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and His voice will we obey." Fathers, we bow our heads to you once again in the precious holy name of Jesus. God, I thank you first of all for salvation. Thank you for the call to preach. God, I thank you for the message that you've given me today. Please give me grace and anointing to preach today, dear God, the way that you have given it to me. Father, I pray that you'll bless each and every spiritual ear this morning, that we'll be able to hear and understand what thus saith the Word of God says. God, help us apply it to our lives. Help us apply it to our service to you. God, help us to be better Christians than what we have been in the past. God, I pray that you'll bless, continue to bless the church. God, I thank you for the good number. God, you've been blessing. You've been adding to, dear God. We got people that wants to do some things for you. And God, I praise you for that. But God, I know that Satan's just ready to rear his head up. God, I pray for a hedge of protection about this church. God, I pray for encouragement to those who want to do good. God, I pray that you'll keep Satan out and the evil ones out. And God, help us to stay focused on you and not man or anything else. God, I'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And I pray and ask that today might be the day of salvation for some. And God in heaven, I pray that it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to draw a person to repentance. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit, will do a great work even today in drawing lost souls to Jesus Christ. Father, I praise your holy name. I give you thanks in advance, dear God, for blessing today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray and I ask these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Book of Joshua, this chapter here that we've read this morning is a wonderful section of Scripture with a lot of good teachings. And this is what God brought me to try to share with us today. You know, Joshua was trying to give them instruction, the people instructions about a journey, a spiritual journey in life. Brother Jimmy, he was encouraging them to serve the Lord in trueness. Serve the Lord with all sincerity, Brother Riley, and put God first in all things, and put those false thinkings, those false religions, those false gods behind, and serve the true and living God. Amen? God has no leniency for us holding on to the world or Satan or the evil things, friend, and trying to serve Him. We either got to walk with Him or we're going to lose Him. Amen? We're not can't hold on to both of them. We can't hold on to Him and our own stinking thinking, but we've got to put our focus on God and walk with Him. Just like my old uncle used to tell me whenever I was coming up, and he had this old mule that he used to go out and plow. He called his name Perky, was the name of the mule. And we went out there, and we'd load that mule up in back of a pickup truck, and we'd go down to what they used to call the old Crow place down there in Nicholson and plant a big old field of corn every year. And he called me. He said, "Son, Bud, come on and help me plow this mule." Well, I'd go out, help him load the mule up, and we'd go down there to the old Crow place, to the old farm place, and we'd unhitch and unload the mule, and we'd hitch up the horse collar on him, we'd put the bridle on him, we'd hook the plow to him, we'd hook all the chains to him, and he said, "Sonny Bud, I want you to take that mule, and we got to train this mule how to plow, and I want you to take him, and I want you to lead him up and down the road. And I'm going to hold on to the plow, and we're going to make us a garden this year." I said, "Yes, sir." And so, Brother J.B., I grabbed a hold of the smart end of the donkey, and I took him by the bridle and the lead and everything, and I walked back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I don't know how many acres it was, but we walked back and forth, so I was about wore slap out. And we planted the garden. Finally, Brother Pat, he got to a point, and I guess he felt sorry for me. He got to the point, we done got the mule trained. And he could lead that mule down there and make the prettiest rows, straight rows you ever seen in your life. If y'all have never seen a trained mule plow a garden, a fresh field for a garden, friend, you have missed a blessing there. Because they can, if you've got one that's trained and you know how to get, what was it? Jee-haw, yeah. I don't know which one's which anymore, but that's what it was, Jee and Haw. And you can get that mule to go, and he'd listen to voice commands, and he could feel the tugging on the reins, and you didn't have to do all this jerking and everything, but you'd have some of the most prettiest and straight rows it was out there. And after that corn started coming up, you'd still bring that old mule and that plow back down through there. And he might get him a bite every once in a while, but that's okay. But he'd go on down and throw that dirt back up there around. And I talked, and he gave me an opportunity one day. He said, "Sonny Bud, you want to plow the mule?" I said, "Yes, sir. I done led this mule around long enough and training for you to do all this pretty work. I want to see how good I can do." He said, "Sonny Bud, I'm going to give you some advice before you take off. You hold on them those handles of that plow. And you got the reins in your hand." And he said, "You pick you out a place, a spot, a landmark, on the other side of the field, and that's what you aim for, and you don't take your eyes off that." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You'll have a nice, pretty straight road." Well, I did that. I started off, got the mule going and everything. Wasn't nothing for that mule to pull that plow. Pulled that plow, and I kept my eyes focused on where my landmark was, where I wanted to wind up and everything. And then I got to feeling a little proud. And I want to look back. Brother Pat, that road was looking good. I'd go a little bit further, Brother Kearney. I'd look back. Boy, that road looking good. Let's go on down here to the other end. I made it. I had to work him a little bit and get back down there where I wanted to turn around. I turned back around that road just like this. Why? Because I took my eye off the mark. I took my eye off where I was pointing to go, wanting to get to. Amen? You know, a child of God can do the same thing. We can take our eyes off the mark that we need to achieve, and we get wrapped up in everything else. We all are on a journey in life. Joshua was trying to explain to the people that they were on a journey, and they needed to put God first in everything. Serve God with sincerity and with all our heart. We all have been on journeys in life, and we're even on a journey today, aren't we? There's things in life. You know, a lot of us goes on vacation. Sister Alda, she goes on vacations to the mountains and everything. But I tell you what, we don't know what to expect all the time whenever we go on a journey, do we? We don't know what lies ahead of us. We visit many different places. We participate in many different activities. We see many wonderful sights. And maybe all the sights might not be so wonderful as we go along the journey. But you know what? As we go on a journey in life, we learn many different things. And for a child of God, we will have to experience some good things and bad things along our journey. And we need to learn from all those things. Amen? You can learn valuable lessons from some bad experiences. You can, can't you? You know, a child, when they're coming up, we got some young children here. And my sister was one of them whenever she was coming up. We used to have the little space heaters in the house. And at wintertime, she walked up there and she put her hand on that hot space heater. Sister Debbie didn't take her long to get her hand off of it. She did some squalling and crying for a little while, and it healed up. But I tell you one thing, you couldn't drag her back over there to put her hand on it again. We can learn some valuable lessons even from some bad experiences on our journey in life. And we need to make sure that we do learn those lessons to stay away from those types of activities or whatever that we might be tempted to do. The road is not always pleasant. We got hills, we got curves, we got valleys, we got mountains we got to cross. But I tell you what, the Lord has been gracious to all of us to bring us to this place right here today. You just think about your journey in the past, where you've been, where you come through, what God brought us through and everything. God's been gracious to all of us. He has. The grace of God is so great, Brother Pat, that we can't even comprehend it with our little feeble mind how much grace God has blessed us with. We can find many examples in the Word of God, and that I want to try to share some with us today about where men and women alike have been on journeys throughout the Bible. In our reading, in our text that we looked at this morning, God's speaking to people about the journey that they were embarking on and how to travel on that journey. Whenever we set out on a journey, just think about today. Let's say we got a vacation planned ahead of us, and we're going to leave at 12:30 today, and we're going to head out on a vacation. And we don't know what's going to take place. Most of us, if not all of us, will travel in a vehicle some kind of way. We don't know if we're going to have a flat tire before we get there, do we? We don't know if maybe our engine or transmission might go out on our vehicle before we get to our destination or make it back. We don't know if we're going to get in a wreck or get tied up in traffic. We don't know if we're going to run into bad inclement weather or things like this. We don't know if we're going to experience some kind of sickness while we're gone. We don't know if we're going to be robbed or maybe even killed while we're gone. These are things that could take place on a journey out before us. We don't know what's in our future, but God knows. God knows. You know, there's many unknowns. There are many unknowns. And what I'm trying to help us to realize today, if we allow those unknown things in the future to hinder us, we'll never grow in our spiritual walk with God. We'll never grow. You know, if we allow those unknown things that lies before us, we'll never go anywhere. We'll never enjoy the beautiful sights. We'll never learn valuable lessons. We'll never experience as great things. If we allow all the unknowns out there in our vacation time, our trip time, or whatever, we would never go. We wouldn't. We would stay home and we'd be a hermit. And we wouldn't go anywhere because the unknown, friend, if we allow those things to happen so severely in our life, they will paralyze us that we won't do anything. Same way in a spiritual life. Friend, there are some unknowns in our spiritual walk with God. And if we allow those unknown things, those unknown that lies in the future paralyze us. We will never do anything for God. We can't allow unknowns to rule our life. One of the keys to following the Lord and enjoying life is to overcome the unknowns that lies ahead of us. Don't sit back and don't fret over every little thing. There's unknowns out there, but you know what? God's greater than all those things. And God can take care of those things. Nothing's going to take God by surprise. Don't be in a paralyzed condition that you can't go out there and enjoy your life in the Lord. A lot of people are paralyzed. A lot of people think, well, I'm not going to do this because somebody's going to say something. I'm just not going to serve God. I'm not going to work on this ministry or anything because people are going to criticize me. There's going to be discouragement out there. And there might be some troubled times. And so I'm just not going to do that. Friend, that's being paralyzed spiritually and not doing anything for God. There are many who would love to do something for the Lord, but the unknowns are so offensive or so strong in their mind that those people cannot overcome the unknowns. So they're missing out on some enjoyment in serving the Lord. You know, it is a lot of joy in serving God. It is. It's not always going to be good times, saved person. But you can have some joy in serving God. Just to know that you're in God's will. Amen? Brother Kearney, everybody might not like it. But if you know that you're in God's will, there's still some joy in it, even in tough times. And that brings about stagnation, the paralyzing of being paralyzed by the unknowns in our spiritual walk. That brings about stagnation in our spiritual growth. And when we experience a good and a bad, friend, we need to learn from and grow from those experiences, like I said before. And therefore, we learn from those things, we're maturing in the Lord. It's very important for a child of God to grow spiritually. Not to just stay stagnant. Not to just be self-satisfied. I'm saved. I got fire insurance and that's it. Man, we need to be willing to grow and have a desire to grow in the Lord. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" You know, these were people that saved, but the Bible says that they were carnal people. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11 through 14, the Bible says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." It's important that we spiritually mature in the Lord. Then not stay stagnant, not stay as babes in Christ. He was talking to the people, Brother Jimmy. No doubt they had been saved for a long time. And he said they should already be at the point of teaching other people. But now they're still on the bottle. They're still taking milk. They're still taking the base things. And they have not grown. Spirituality is not to stay in a position of being a baby. We have a baby here, you know, maybe more than one in here in the house of God. But that baby has begun to grow. It starts off with the milk, and then you start feeding a little bit of food, soft food to it, and the baby gets stronger and gains weight and gets taller. And after a while, that baby, that young child, will be able to walk around on its own and do things. But friend, if you don't give the nutrition that somebody needs spiritually, they'll never grow spiritually.
They have got to have the meat of God's word sooner or later. And Brother Leonard, there are some people that can't take the meat yet. And that's a bad situation for people that stays a babe and squalling and crying all the time and says, oh, I can't take it no more. I don't like the word of God anymore. I don't want preaching so hard anymore. Because why? Because they're still on the milk of God's word. Friend, we have got to start cutting some molars, amen? We got to start cutting some teeth that we can start chewing on a little meat and we don't get offensive every time the word of God being preached. Friend, we have got to grow spiritually. We have got to grow spiritually. If not, we're useless in the service of God. We're useless in the service of God. We're paralyzed spiritually in our walk. In our travels with God, we have become stagnant in spirituality. Let me just try to give you a little crude example that I thought about whenever I was sitting down last night in my study and studying and seeking out God. We all like to go on vacations. We all like to go on trips and everything. And we have big expectations, don't we? I love to go to the mountains. We used to love to go to Colorado. Beautiful country to see God's wonderful blessings out there, how God created things. But friend, I tell you what, we make preparations, don't we? Make preparations. I tell you what, you can have the nicest car it is to go on a trip. And you can go and gas that car up, fill that car, top it off with gasoline, the high octane stuff. You can fill that gas tank up. It might cost you $100 nowadays, but you can top it off. You can get your family, and you can sell them in there after you done went and spent no telling how much money on the best tune-up job you can get. You know that car is running top-notch. You got good tires on it. You already expect the tires and everything like that. You get in that car and you sitting that down in that car and you grab that seat belt and you stretch that seat belt across you and you hear it go click. Boy, we getting ready. We fixing to do something now. We fixing to go on a journey. Oh, I reach up there and I grab that ignition and I crank it up and you listen to that engine purr. Boy, that tune-up job's working good. I put my foot on the brake, drop that thing down and drive. And if I never take my foot off that brake, I'll never go anywhere. Yeah. Friend, you can have the best car. You can have your tank full of gas. You can have your seatbelt fastened on. You can have all the good intentions in the world, but until you take your foot off the brake and do something for God, you'll never go anywhere. Yeah. You'll never go anywhere spiritually. Friend, if we can't understand something as simple as that, we've got the gas in the tank, amen? We got the best vehicle it is right here. We've got the seatbelt on. We got the best car insurance, the travel insurance, the life insurance it is, friend. We've got it right here with God. But until we start going and walking and doing something in faith, we're not going to grow. We're not going to learn. We're not going to grow. And we're going to be useless in the service of God. Let me share something with you this morning about some characters in the Bible here. Very briefly, I'm not going to turn to a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to try to just give us an overview on some things. If Noah, everybody know who Noah is, right? Noah in the book of Genesis, we all know who Noah is. If Noah failed to step out on faith and obedience to God, he would have never experienced the best boat ride anybody ever experienced. Him and his family experienced the best boat ride that was ever out there. His obedience saved himself and his family, didn't he? And everyone else perished in the flood. Yours and my obedience to God, friend, and obeying the Lord might just help save one of our loved ones. Just like Noah, Brother Jimmy, if he wouldn't have been faithful and obedient to God, he would have never experienced that boat ride. He would have never experienced it. If Moses, everybody know who Moses is, right? If Moses would have allowed the unknown to keep him sitting in Egypt with everybody else and kept him, if all the unknowns out there would have kept him from going across that barren desert toward that Red Sea where the Bible says that there was no way of escape, If he would let all those unknowns out there to keep him, they would have died in bondage still in Egypt. Not only would his family, but thousands upon thousands of other people would have died in bondage in Egypt, in that deplorable condition. Friend, you and me overcoming that anxiety and the fear of the unknowns and us going forth and obeying and serving God might just help set some captives free. I'm talking about some lost people. We might can help set some lost people free by sharing Jesus Christ with them, by allowing them to see Jesus Christ in our service, our following the Lord Jesus Christ. People are looking for someone to follow. They are. Everybody wants a good leader to follow. But friend, let me be honest with you, it needs to be a Christian that they follow. A full-time Christian. One that's dedicated to God. Not one that's just a Sunday morning saint and live like the devil all week long. Amen? Not one just half-heartedly goes to the house of God. Not one just half-heartedly prays. Not one that half-heartedly studies. But friend, one that's dedicated and serving God. We need true Christian leadership out there today. There's a man in the Bible that God brought me to in 2 Kings chapter 5. You can read that story if you want to. But his name was Naaman. And the Bible says that he was a leper, and evidently he was a well-known person. And God sent a man named Elisha to him and told him, and all he did was tell, and he sent word to him, and he said for him to go wash in the river of Jordan 7 times, and he'd be healed. Well, you know, Naaman got kind of upset about that. He thought, surely the man of God would come and just strike his hands over him and just say something. And I'm putting this on my own words. And some great thing would happen. Don't let pride get in the way.
No.
Don't let pride get in the way. I don't care how lowly or how meek the job is that God has called us in to do. Do it with all your heart to serve God.
No.
All, and Naaman got to thinking about this after his servant told him. He said, sir, if he would have told you to do some great thing, would not have you done it? He got to thinking on those things. And the Bible finally tells us that Naaman went down to the river Jordan and he washed 7 times. And his skin came. It's like it was all new for him. He was healed of leprosy because he obeyed God. But his unknowns out there. And maybe it was some known things. Brother Alonzo, maybe it was some reasons there that he didn't want to go down to the River Jordan. Maybe the River Jordan was a little bit smaller than some other rivers around there. Maybe the River Jordan wasn't as clean as what some of the rivers was around there, because he named a couple of them. He said, aren't those greater than the River Jordan? Why can't I just go to those? But God, the reason why he couldn't to get healed was because God told him to go to River Jordan. There might have been some unknowns there. I don't like going into the river. I really don't. Unless I'm in a boat. Brother Kenneth, there's no way I'm going to go. What do you call that? Newman. Ain't no way I'm going to go Newman with you. Brother Kenneth goes out there and he gets up on the water and reaches down them old dark, nasty holes and drags out cat. No, sir. God gave me better sense than that. Don't know what I'm going to pull back out, amen? God ain't told me to go noodling. But don't pull back a nub, son. But we need to obey God. It might have been that Naaman was afraid maybe of some water moccasins in the river. Yeah. Maybe he happened to see some. Maybe he saw some alligators out there. Maybe he had some known things out there that was hindering him also. You know, we also allow some known things that's ahead of us to hinder us. Well, I know. If I do this, I'm going to get criticized. I know if I do this, people are going to look at me a funny way. I know if I do this, I'm going to be the outcast. I know if I do this for God, this or this is going to happen. Sometimes we got some known things also that hinders us from serving God. But I want to remind us once again, there's nothing too great for God to handle.
If God brings us, don't say it is, if God brings us to us, surely he can bring us through it. Amen? Surely he can do that. So I'm trying to help us today, trying to give some encouragement today to go forth and serve God. You know, I was telling us a little bit a while ago about don't think that some job is too lowly for God. Don't get built up in pride in those things. Because in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Then in the book of Colossians chapter 3, it tells us, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That's very important there. You listen, grab hold of this, child of God. Everybody might not like what we teach, what we preach, or how we do these things. But if we do it like God said, he said, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Verse 25 of that same chapter. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, for there is no respect of persons. Friend, if we do wrong, we'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. And God's no respecter of persons. I don't care who you are, who my family is, or anything like that. That means the preacher, the pastor, he's not exempt. Amen, Brother Jim? Yeah. He's not exempt from it. Yeah. That means the deacon's not exempt from it. Yeah. That means the song leader's not exempt from it. That means the piano player's not exempt from it. That means old Joe and Sally Blow in the house of God is not exempt from serving God in the right way. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now I want us to come to a place today, as I'm trying to wind things down, to the place right before the children of Israel entered into the promised land. And this really blessed my heart as God led me to this. They come up there and fixing to go into the promised land. And they knew it was occupied. So Moses had 12 tribes of Israel out there. Brother Jimmy, and he called out, God, he followed God's instructions, and he called out one man from each tribe of Israel. And he said, I want you to go into the promised land where God's bringing us to, and I want you to spy out the territory and see if we can overtake it. See if we can win the battle. See if we can go in there and be successful in everything. He's had 12 men, one from each tribe of Israel, that went over there. And I believe the Bible says, if I read it correctly, that they spent like 40 days over there, spying out, looking all over the different places and everything. And they even brought some great, wonderful fruit back from the land to show them how it was, how it was a place like flowing with milk and honey. A wonderful, blessed place that God has brought them up there to the edge. Right to the edge of it. Brother Pat, 11 of those 12 came back. And they told Moses, no, there's giants over there. We can't, Moses, there's no way that we can go over and take that land. There's no way that we can overcome. There was one man from all those 12 tribes, and his name was Caleb. And let me share with you what he says in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse number 30, he said, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. One man out of all 12 of the spies that went over there, and they saw the same thing. There was one man that had faith, had vision, that God can give the victory. And you might say, Brother Paul, I really don't understand that. But let me share something with you. In chapter 14 and verse 24, that same thing. The Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. The Bible says that he had a different spirit than the rest of them. You understand this? Friend, we can get in a bad spirit a lot of times and do things against God.
But Caleb, thank God, he stayed focused and he knew and he had faith in a holy God that God was able to deliver them and to overcome in that land. But if they, Brother Leonard, if they would have stood right here on the borderline of where the promised land met, and they sat there and they said, you know what? They said, the giants. Brother Pat, there ain't a way to overcome that. They could have stood there for the rest of their days and died in that wilderness. But the Bible says that they went forth and they conquered. And God gave them victory. God gave them victory. Why? Child of God, because they stepped out in faith and they served God. They followed Him. That's what I'm trying to help us do today. Trying to encourage us today as a child of God. We have got to step out in faith and serve God. Quit worrying about the naysayers. Quit worrying about what the world might say. Quit worrying about people that's in the right, wrong spirit, what they might say. Friend, gird up yourself and go forth and put your mark on the high calling of God and serve Him. Serve Him with spirit and in truth. And don't worry about all those things. Yes, we're going to have some bumps in the road. Yes, you're going to have some curves. Yes, you're going to have some hills. Yes, there's going to be some valleys and some barren lands. But you know what? We can learn from those things and we can grow closer to God and be more prepared for the next journey that we go on for Him. But if you sat there with your seatbelt on, with your tank full of gas, with your insurance all paid up, and you got it dropped in and drive with the air conditioner blowing wide open and your foot still pressed on that brake, we will never grow in the Lord. God has given us the tools, the instructions that we need to serve Him, to grow. Friend, it's time to get our foot off the brake. It's time to go forth and serve God. And I thank God that we've had some movement and we have some things going on and God has blessed and to be a ministry to the community and everything and be a blessing to the members of the church and all these kind of things. But friend, that should just be the starting point. Let's move forward and serve God. Let's grow and serve God spiritually. If we will sit back and not go and keep our foot on the brake, friend, we'll never go anywhere. We'll never see what's right around the bend. We'll never see what's right over the hill. My wife loves waterfalls. And we've been on traveling vacation before. We drive up and down the interstate miles after miles. We go through the mountains. You know how you go through the mountains? You got all these steep curves and whoever's driving really can't see anything because you're busy watching the road so you won't run off the side of the mountain. But she sits over there. She said, oh, did you see that? I said, no, I can't see it. I got to watch the road. I love to see it. I love to stop. But I tell you what, you stop going through the Smoky Mountains, you're going to get run over pretty much. Because there's so many people and they want to fly going up down through there because they go there because such beautiful sights. But if we would have stayed in Ozona, Mississippi, sitting in the car, gas still, foot still on the brake while it's in drive, sooner or later, friend, that car is going to sit there and it's going to run out of gas and we still haven't gone anywhere. Child of God, you got your tank full of gas. You got plans. You got a vision of where you want to be at with God. Get your foot off the brake and start making some miles. Amen? Let's get on fire for God. Let's serve God. Stop sitting back. Stop just letting the unknowns out there keep us from serving God. There's one last journey that I want to share with us this morning. One last journey. And persons, please take heed. There's one more journey that each of us will take one day, and that journey is death. But the path is coming. It's coming sooner or later. It's coming. That journey named death. Friend, the Bible says that's one journey that we will not put off. We can sit there, Brother Jimmy, and we can have our foot hard as we can. We can have the emergency brake on place down tight as it can go. We can have our foot pressed on the brake hard as we can. But still, when our journey of death comes, no matter how hard we try to hold back, we're going to die. I don't care what doctors you might have around. I don't care what kind of miracle drugs might have to use. I don't care how great specialists you might have out there. When it's our time to die, friend, we're going to die. And the Bible says, as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And you know what? Your faith is going to determine your destiny after death. Your faith. Are you placing your total faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you done that? If not, friend, you've got hell to face. You've got the lake of fire to face. You got torments to face. Are you placing your faith in something else beside Jesus Christ? If you are, you're heading for a head-on collision with hell. Friend, please place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, the Bible says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great throne, a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works." Verse 14 and 15. "And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, and you die in that condition, you're going to bust hell wide open, friend. And there's no, once you go there, there's no changing it. Like the Bible says, whichever way the tree falls when it lays, when it falls, there shall it be. There's no changing it. If you're placing your faith in your own ability or some other man or some other person or some other false god out there or some religion or something like that, you're going to bust hell wide open unless you change and place your total faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you obey the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and you trust Jesus Christ and you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you are experiencing the greatest journey that anybody can experience. Friend, let me share something. Well, you might say, "Preacher, I want to experience that journey. Preacher, I know that my name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Preacher, I know that if I died right now in my condition, I'm going to bust hell wide open and I'm going to suffer in the flames of torment forever and ever and ever." Suffering, suffering, suffering. You don't have to. I want to plead to you today, lost person. In John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, the Bible tells us about the wonderful love from God. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Why would I go to hell? Why would you go to hell? The only reason why a person goes to hell is because they have not received Jesus Christ as the Lord. They have not placed their total faith in him. Then we find in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name. There's no other way. There's no other person. There is only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Then we find in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. You want to know how to be saved, what you got to do to be saved? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. It says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that will call upon him. It doesn't matter if you've done drugs. It doesn't matter if you had abortions. It doesn't matter if you murdered somebody. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, or yellow, or any other color. It don't matter if you're a United States citizen or a German or a Russian or anything like that. It doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you live. Friend, he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, "It's no difference between this group or that group, or this sex and that sex, or this religion. It doesn't make any difference. We all have to come the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done in your life. I tell you what, it's none of my business what you've done in your life. Amen. But God, nothing's hid from our holy God. He sees it all, and nothing's hid from him. And friend, one day you're going to be judged according to your works, the Bible says. And whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and their sins are covered with the blood of Jesus. And he forgets about those sins, Brother Kearney. He said, they're as far as the east is from the west. Thank God to be remembered against you no more. What's keeping you from trusting him today? What's keeping you from trusting Jesus Christ today and having your home in heaven, having your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, Brother Paul, I like having good times. Brother Paul, I like all these things, and I don't want to give them up. Friend, let me tell you something. There's no better time that a person can have as when they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord. Get saved, be reborn, have a rebirth, have a new attitude about you, have a new outlook on life, and have a new vision that you want to work toward. There's no greater journey. There's no greater journey. Brother Kearney, you come. Sister Patty, you come. I'm going to try to close out here in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Friend, let me be honest with you. I'm not like a lot of preachers out there that says you got to speak in tongues. I'm not saying that you got to be baptized. I'm not saying you got to do all kind of cutting flips all over the place to get saved. I'm not saying all those things, because those things are unbiblical. Amen. That's not God's word. There's only one way to get saved, and that's placing your total faith, unconditional faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you try to tie anything with that concerning salvation, you're lost. I don't like that preacher. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I believe you got to speak in tongues. You're lost. Preacher, I don't believe that. Friend, I'm going to tell you what the God's word says. You're lost and headed to hell. Why? Because you have not placed your unconditional faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all his sufficiency that he is able to save to the uttermost. You say you're trying to put works involved with it, and works will get you in hell. God might take me out, Brother Kearney. Today I might be struck dead and I might never be able to preach again. But by God's grace, I'm going to tell you the truth about things. Because one day, friend, we're going to be standing there before a holy God together. And if you say, well, Brother Paul said I can do it this way and I can do it that way, I can add to or I can take away, you are a liar. Friend, there's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Paul, I'll try to live a little better. And I'll try to get washed up. And I'll clean up. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And I'll give more money to church. And I can do all these things. Friends, you can't work yourself into heaven. But I guarantee you, you can work yourself into hell. That's a promise. That's a promise. I lost my place. I want to share something with you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank you, God, for your unmatchless love. That you shed your blood on the cross of Calvary for an old stinking sinner like me. that I didn't have to jump up and down and cut lips, that I didn't have to go babbling off in some foreign language, that I didn't have to be baptized in a river, in a creek, in a baptistry, anything else, that all I had to do was put my complete faith in the Lord Jesus, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Thank you, God.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people. You might be here, you might not agree with me today. I can't help you. Take that up with God. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's a mute that get saved. They can't speak a word, but they get saved. There's a lot of people that's paralyzed or have some open infirmities in their bodies that they can't get ducked in a pool of water somewhere. Thank God baptism does not determine their salvation or not. The thief on the cross was not baptized. But the Lord told him, because he placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ while he's hanging on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when I come to thee. And Jesus turned and told him, he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, there was another thief there was also. He started mouthing all some things before that. And he never admitted that Jesus Christ was God in flesh. He never admitted that he was Lord. He never admitted that he was a Savior. He said, if thou and save thyself, save yourself and save us also. If, doubting, he put his faith in him. Jesus never spoke to that man. He never acknowledged him because he didn't acknowledge him as Lord. Friend, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you saved today? Are you on a journey with the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you still on a journey going straight to the gates of hell? Friend, I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit comes today and does a work in your heart as a lost person and shows you that you have now come on that road to a place, not a crossroad, but a T in the road where you have got to take a left or a right. You've got to accept or trust in your own ways that you've been going all this time, or are you going to turn and you're going to trust the ultimate Savior, the only Savior, the Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that you trust Jesus Christ right here this morning before you leave. Because, friend, you don't know what's ahead of the bend in the journey that you're on right now. It might be a head-on collision. It might be a heart attack. It might be a stroke. It could be a gunshot. It could be died of natural causes. It could be an accident. Anything could happen. But saved person, we're on the journey also. Get our foot off the brake and let's go forth and serve God. Keep your mark, your eyes on the mark of Jesus Christ. And stay with him.
Yeah.
Brother Kearney, what number?
Page
10. Anything's on your heart, you come this morning. The altars are open, you come. You need prayer, you come. You've been saved, you come. If God's dealing with you, convicting you, showing you that you're lost, please come. I'd be glad to share with you the scripture. I'd be glad to pray with you, whatever it might take. But you come. Don't put on salvation. Receive. Thank you.
while she still plays, what we have been called this morning. I thank God this morning for the move of the Holy Spirit. But pray, please, don't stand there. Don't sit there and get your mind on the Spirit of God's move. Because this might be the last opportunity that you have to get saved. This might be the last time that the Spirit of God crawls you and convicts you of your sin. And I would hate to see you on that great day of judgment. You stand before God, being literally picked up and being cast into the lake of fire. Screaming with all the glory. And on that day, there's going to be a lot of moms and dads separated from the children. There's going to be a lot of husbands and wives separated from each other forever and ever. There's going to be loved ones departing. That's going to see other loved ones cast into the lake of fire. Oh, I don't want that to happen. Not to your family, not to mine. The only way that won't happen is to live first. You got to show Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. If not, you'll suffer. You'll see no prayer. I'll be good at all. I'm not trying to push anybody. I'm not trying to pull all these things. But you let the Spirit of God work.
Thank you.